Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of Sanity's Eclipse. This is a podcast series that I've been meaning to do for about 3 years or so now, but I just haven't gotten around to it. I'm still not entirely sure what the topics are going to be that we're going to be discussing on this podcast, but I kind of wanted to get this out here because I have this initial topic that I want to discuss with you guys. And if you read the description or the title of this podcast, you may have an idea of what this first episode will entail. Basically, I just want to take you guys through everything that happened in my life personally, share some of my experiences, and hopefully this can help some of you guys understand some of the anxieties around these kind of situations a little bit better. Cool, so with the introductions out of the way, let's get onto the topic here. So where to begin? I guess let's start with the title of the episode, right? I was together with someone for almost 4 years. We were engaged, and a couple of months ago, I made the extremely difficult decision to tell her that I don't think that we should be seeing each other anymore. I told her, you know, I think that we should go our separate ways and everything, and it has been one of the hardest decisions of my life. It's not something that was really premeditated in any way. None of these things really ever are, I think. It kind of just gradually happens over time. Now, for some context, we actually originally met in 2017, November the 23rd. That was the day that we met, and we met on Tinder, believe it or not, and it was amazing. She was the most amazing person, and I still do think of her that way. She's an amazing person, and to have met such an amazing person on Tinder, I think is a real novelty and rarity, because I was on Tinder looking for a relationship with someone for almost a year before I met my now ex-fiance. And it was, yeah, like I say, it was phenomenal. Like, meeting her through Tinder, because of my social anxiety and, you know, how shy I am, it's very difficult for me to meet people in any other way. So for me personally, I find Tinder extremely helpful in at least taking that first step. Now, there were a lot of people that I had met online through various different dating sites. I was all over the place. I was on OkCupid, I was on Bumble, I was on Tinder, I was on, I don't know, like maybe 3 or 4 other apps that I cannot even remember the name of right now. But I was on all of these apps. I met a couple of people. Most of the people that I met I only saw once, and, you know, the things that we wanted didn't align. No one that I had met until I had met my ex-fiance actually wanted like a serious relationship. So that was fine, but it was interesting, because hand to God, 100% truth, the day that I had matched with my ex-fiance, I was like, if this date doesn't go well, it doesn't matter. Like, I had deleted Tinder on that day, and I was like, this is it, because Like there was so much frustration from my side, you know, looking for a relationship and meeting up with various different people that didn't actually want a relationship. They just wanted either a friendship, or I'm not even sure what they wanted from it. Like, I'm not very good at reading signs of anything. So, nothing ever came of any of those meetups that I had from the various different people. And I had said to myself, listen, this is like the last chance. I'm deleting this app. You know, we exchanged numbers. So I deleted the app before we met up, and I was like, this is it. I'm going to not be on Tinder after this, regardless of how this turns out. And turns out that the two of us got engaged. And we got engaged 2 years ago, 2019, on the day that we met. So 2019, November 23 was the date that I had proposed to her. Now, there was a lot of anxiety for me in making this decision initially. And I've been completely honest with my ex-fiance about this when things were coming down. So firstly, I suffer from generalized anxiety disorder, social anxiety, and OCD. Now, all of those things combined make it very difficult for me to make decisions, because I'm constantly overthinking things, always thinking about the worst possible outcome. And I've been working with a psychologist and a psychiatrist for the past 2.5-3 years now, and things have gotten better. However, at the time of making this decision to propose to my ex-fiance, I was under a lot of anxiety. I hadn't even really started grasping anything tangible from these sessions with the psychologist and psychiatrist. So I'm not going to lie, I felt extremely pressured to propose. And this is not to say that I regret the proposal in any way. I absolutely love my ex-fiance. She is the love of my life. Now, I would say this is a bit of an unpopular opinion and maybe a bit of a controversial opinion and topic, but I believe that it is possible to have more than one person that is the love of your life. Love is such a complicated emotion to feel. And without a doubt, the way that I feel about my ex-fiance is something that I've spoken to my psychologist about. And I've said to him, you know, listen, I don't think that this relationship that I had with my ex-fiance is just going to disappear. I feel as though I'm always going to love her regardless of the situation. I honestly wish her the best, which is part of the reason that I decided to make the decision in order for us to go our separate ways. Because the more time that I spent with my psychologist, the more I was uncovering things about myself, and I was kind of seeing that our values and goals are not really aligned. And again, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I love my ex-fiance so much that I really do wish the best for her. And the more that I uncover and unpack these things with my psychologist, the more I get to see that our values, my ex-fiance and I, our values don't align. I'm not sure if our end goals align either. And I want her to be happy. So I don't want to hold her down, which is why I've made this decision. Now, just because I've made the decision doesn't mean that I'm happy about it or that everything is okay. It's a very difficult it was a very difficult decision to make, and I am still struggling with it. So I made this decision about 3 or 4 months ago from the time of this podcast coming out. And I'm still struggling with it. Like I've told my psychologist, listen, this is a very shitty feeling. I don't feel good about this situation at all. I miss my ex-fiance a lot. She's an amazing person, but there were things that were problematic, and the more time that we spend together, the more I see these little roadblocks kind of pop up, and they're difficult. The reason I call them roadblocks is because they're very difficult to get through. It's possible for us to work through these things, but the overarching problem always seems to stay there. So, to give you guys a bit of context as well, last year, around the end of 2020, so I'd say maybe between September 2020 to maybe January of 2021, those couple of months, I was having really bad thoughts come into my head. One of the most extreme thoughts that I'd like to share with you guys is I kind of wanted the entire world to just end by having a meteor come and hit the earth and kind of just get rid of everyone. Like, that's kind of the anxiety that I felt because I didn't want to make this decision or even think about any of these difficult things. All of these things that were on my mind were giving me so much anxiety that I wanted to be out of this world in a way, and not be in a position that I have to make this decision. So that was where my headspace was at around the end of last year. And something that my psychologist mentioned to me recently when I saw him was he reminded me about these thoughts that I had, and he reminded me that I need to see how far I've come, because last year, around this time, I was starting to have these really bad thoughts come into my head. And now I've made this decision and I'm working through it. It's very difficult. As I mentioned, the whole situation is extremely shitty. And just because I was the one to say, let's go our separate ways, it doesn't mean that it's something that I wanted. It's just something that I feel is what was necessary for both of us to be happy. With all of that in mind, there were some very mean things that were said. A lot of hurtful things came out between the two of us, and it was a very unpleasant situation. But I was pegged as this terrible person for having made this decision, and one of the most important things that my psychologist has been working on with me for the past couple of months, I'd say it's probably been about 5 or 6 months that he's been working on this with me, but you are not responsible for anyone else's happiness. Neither are you responsible for the way that someone handles any situation. So that's something that's been very difficult for me for an extremely long time. It's part of the reason that I'm in therapy at the moment to try and work through these things and try and get better at this. A lot of these things give me anxiety, and a lot of my anxiety comes from the fact that I try to take responsibility for other people's happiness, because if someone's unhappy that I care about, if someone in my life is unhappy that I care about, I feel like it is my duty to make them feel better. But as my psychologist has explained to me, this is not the case. Everyone is ultimately responsible for their own happiness, because there is no way that you can be responsible for someone's happiness, because happiness is a completely subjective emotion. There's things that we as humans share, like a feeling of hunger, a feeling of tiredness. These are all common things that all of us can understand. Happiness, on the other hand, is completely subjective. What makes one person happy is vastly different from what would make another person happy. So, working with my psychologist on this idea that I need to remove the responsibility from myself, from putting myself in a position where I am making myself responsible for someone else's happiness, is important. And it's been one of the most difficult things to work on. But over the past 2 months or so, things have gotten a lot better. Recently, I had a session with my psychologist, and I told him, you know, this entire situation is really shitty. I feel absolutely crap about this whole situation of not being with my ex-fiance anymore. As I mentioned, you know, although where the proposal came from, I felt very pressured in making that decision and proposing to her. But there is not a second that I regret having done so, because, as I mentioned, she is the love of my life. And a very unpopular opinion is I do think that you can have more than one love of your life, because love as well is a very complicated emotion. The way that I feel about my ex-fiance is a way that I've never felt about anyone before. So I know for a fact that she is the love of my life, and she has had a tremendously big impact on my life. And that impact will remain with me as things go on in the future. But my goal is to work with my psychologist and not have these thoughts come through of me sort of beating myself up about the decision. Because ultimately, as I've mentioned before, we are responsible for our own happiness, and we're not responsible for anyone else's happiness. So this is something that I've struggled with. As I mentioned, you know, I would take responsibility for when someone that I care about is upset, to try and make them feel better. It felt like a responsibility to me. I felt obligated, in a sense, to try and cheer this person up. Now, this is not to say that you can't cheer someone up when they're unhappy. You can do that. But ultimately, in order for the other person to get out of the space that they're in, the responsibility lies with them to pull themselves out of that situation. And that's something that I've been working on with my psychologist. Again, with all of that in mind, I have come to a stage now in this process where I told my psychologist, listen, I don't know what this feeling is that I have. The only way that I can best describe it is by using the word acceptance. Now, accepting the situation and the situation being a good situation doesn't have to be the same thing, or that they don't lie in the same area. They can be sort of mutually exclusive, because I know that the situation is shit and I still feel shit about the situation. I still feel extremely terrible about it. As I mentioned, I really miss my ex-fiance. I miss her a lot. But I've reached a point where I've kind of got this acceptance, and it doesn't make the situation any better. It's still a shitty situation, and my psychologist has been really happy with the progress that I've made in this stage. He says, you know, it's fantastic that you can acknowledge that it is a bad situation and it makes you feel bad. But at the same time, he's also happy that I've kind of reached a point of acceptance. It's really difficult. The more time that goes on, the more I miss her, and the more I start to second guess myself about the decision that I made. However, at the same time, throughout this entire process, I'm working with my psychologist as well and trying to unpack all of these things and figure out exactly what it is that I want from life. And the more I do that, the more I see that our values and our goals were just not aligning. And because happiness is such a subjective emotion, I can see that if we were both to continue down this path, one of us is going to end up being in an extremely unhappy relationship, and I don't think that that is fair for either of us. And that is why I say that I have made this decision out of the best interest for both of us. And it's really difficult, because I haven't lost any love that I have towards my ex-fiance, and she doesn't want this situation, or she doesn't want this to be the case that we're not together, because she cares about me a lot as well. So it's really difficult. Like, we do both still care about each other, but because I made this decision, I am seen as this really bad person. The only thing that I can hope for is that my ex-fiance at some point in the future will see that I have made this decision so that we can both be happy. And hopefully she can understand that I have never lost the love that I've had for her. And as I mentioned before, she's had a tremendous impact on my life, and I think that impact on my life is going to remain with me probably forever. Things will get a little bit easier in terms of missing my ex-fiance and me moving forward, but I will never forget this experience. So coming up this year, 2021, November, we would have been together for 4 years, and we got engaged after 2 years. And as I mentioned, because of my anxiety and everything, I felt extremely pressured to do the proposal and actually propose to her. And the reason for this is because I don't know how to say no to people. No is a very difficult thing for me to say to people, especially people that I care about. It gets a little bit easier for people that I don't know, but even people that I don't know, I sometimes find it difficult to say no to them. And I'm also not a person that likes confrontation. So all of these things combined, especially with my social anxiety, if I'm in a situation where someone cuts in front of me in a line, my initial reaction is that I'm going to be very upset, but I kind of won't really even mention it. I'll kind of just keep it all to myself because I don't like confrontation. And if someone asks me for something out in public and I can give it to them, whether or not I should is a different story, but if I can give it to them, there's more often than not times that I do give it to that person. And this is just something that I'm working on with my psychologist, and I'm getting better at it. It's important to understand where your responsibilities lie and what is good for you. And the reason that I say, you know, what is good for you is because ultimately, as I've mentioned a couple of times throughout this podcast, the responsibility of happiness lies with you. No one can be responsible for your happiness because only you know what it is that truly makes you happy. And this is why it's been such a difficult decision for me to make, because throughout my entire life, I've always been in this situation where I will compromise absolutely everything for any person that I care about, not thinking about what is best for me and what I need from life. And this is why I've ultimately made the decision to end things with my ex-fiance. It is not because I do not care about her. It is not because I fell out of love with her or anything like that. It's simply just me trying to figure out what it is that makes me happy. And there's certain things that make me who I am that kind of conflict a lot with my ex-fiance's core values. Some of these things are like the language that I use. I typically use very coarse language. I swear a lot, but it's not coming out of a place of malice. For me, swearing is kind of just a release, and it makes you feel better. It makes me feel less anxious. But swearing is a huge no-no for my fiance, especially when it comes to the kind of words that I use. So, you know, this is my podcast. I've made things explicit. So my intention is not to offend anyone listening to this podcast, but just so that I can give everyone context of everything, if I were to say something like, oh my God, this is like really, it goes against core values of my ex-fiance because she is religious. Now for me, oh my God has become such a ubiquitous term that it's used in kind of almost even PG rated content that is put out. So for me, oh my God doesn't feel that bad, but it spans a bit further. There are a lot of times when I would just say Jesus or Jesus Christ or, you know, oh my Lord or something like that. All of these terms that I've mentioned completely go against the core values of my ex-fiance, and this is not a problem. I do not want to change her. My religious standpoint and her religious standpoint is not something that needs to change. Neither of us need to change our beliefs and opinions on these things. At least that's what I understand now. Initially coming into the relationship, because I started to get to know my ex-fiance better and started to really care for her and started to love her, I felt as though I needed to compromise myself on these things and not say these words and not say these phrases and not use these words to express myself. But the more that I unpack who I really am with my psychologist, the more I understand that this is just a part of who I am, and there is nothing wrong with that. And I understand at the same time that this is the way that my ex-fiance is, and I wouldn't ask her, or I have never expected her to change. But for whatever reason, inside of my own head, I have felt the need for myself to change without input directly from her saying that I need a change. Because there's never been once where she's explicitly said, I need to change. That never happened. But because of how I've been conditioned in my previous relationships throughout primary school, throughout high school, and everything, like, those conditionings from my past relationships have made me want to be in a position where I force myself to compromise, even if the other person doesn't suggest it, because I can see that it makes them unhappy. But at the same time, and in turn, it ends up making me really unhappy. And the more time that we spend engaged, the more time I start to see what our life is going to be like in the future if we stay together. Now, we were only engaged for about 2.5 months for about a year and a half before I said, okay, you know, I think we should go our separate ways. However, we were together for 3.5 years. All of that time combined and all of the discussions that I have with my psychologist trying to figure out what path I'm headed on has led me to the decision that we need to go our separate ways, because I can see that in the long term, one of us is going to be really unhappy, because I'm going to be playing a game, for example, and the game is going to upset me for whatever reason, and I'm going to be like, Jesus Christ, and just like be upset, but just at the game. And that is going to completely upset my ex-fiance, and it's not fair, right? The words I use are just that. They're just words that I use. But for her, it has meaning. And I wouldn't want to take that meaning away from her. So this is one of the biggest things. Another thing is children, right? So when we met, you know, after a couple of months or so, we kind of casually spoke about kids and everything, and I was all on board for having kids and stuff. But as time has gone on, you know, as my psychologist and as most of you will probably know, we all go through substantial changes in our lives, especially after a couple of years. The person that I was 5 years ago is not the person that I am now, because of the experiences that I've had, and just in general, life changes you. The way that I am now is especially different from the way that I was when I was in high school. It's vastly different. And it's interesting. We change little by little without realizing it, and it's because time kind of passes us by and we don't realize how much we change until we take a step back and reevaluate everything. So for me, I did want children. And honest to God, my mom will vouch for this. She will tell you, or anyone that ever asks her, that throughout the entirety of my life, throughout the entirety of the 29 years that I've been alive, I have been on and off in terms of children. And the more that this engagement became real and thinking about just spending the rest of my life with this person that I truly love, knowing that they want children and they've wanted children forever, like they've never changed at all, knowing that she wants children and knowing how much, like, I'm on the fence, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, I can't guarantee that it's actually something that I want. I've spoken with her about it in the past. Like I said, you know, after a couple of months, we kind of casually spoke about it. And as more time went on, we were like, yes, okay, you know, we're maybe going to have 3 children and everything. But a lot has changed in my life. And to be honest, I'm not sure if children is something that I want. But like I say, I go through these sort of ups and downs in terms of, yes, I want children, and no, I don't want children. And this has been happening probably since I was about 15 or 16, I think. My mom would be able to tell me exactly when I started saying all of these things. I think I ended up starting with, you know, I don't want children because, you know, I can see how expensive they can be. Because I kind of started realizing everything that my parents were doing for me, and I was like, wow, you know, even back then, I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to work one day, I'm going to make some money, but then, you know, a lot of the money is going to go to the children. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. I just don't believe that it's something that I want. Putting kids through school and all of that is just not something that current me feels is right for me. And I'm a little bit more like on the other side of the fence of not wanting children in general, because, and this is something that I've actually struggled with over the past month now, is, and I've spoken to my psychologist about this, it's this feeling that I'm selfish. You know, I don't want to share the things that I have with anyone else. And that's kind of where a lot of this is coming from. However, with that being said, you know, my psychologist tells me I'm not being selfish. It's just kind of the things that I want. So, for example, when I get into bed, so just for context, actually, I live alone in an apartment. And for context, when I get into bed, I like to have the bed to myself. I really enjoy just sleeping by myself, but at the same time, that's not to say that I didn't enjoy the intimate time that I used to have with my ex-fiance. But if we were intimate together and we lay on the bed afterwards together, I would always feel very uncomfortable. So I mentioned this to my psychologist, and he told me, you know, it's all of these society norms and everything that, you know, you should be sleeping in the same bed and everything. But he said that he knows a couple personally that have a dedicated intimacy bed and like dedicated sleeping beds that each of them have for themselves. And when he said that, I was very taken aback. I was like, oh wow, people actually do that? But something that's important to remember is that we make the rules, right? We are in charge of what we do with our lives. So if you can find someone and have this discussion with them and be like, listen, you know, I don't really like sleeping together in the same bed because, you know, I want my own space. And this person can be accepting of that. And they're like, okay, you know, let's try this. And if you both can find happiness in that, then that is fantastic. And that's kind of the goal. And all of these discussions that I've had with my psychologist has partly been the reason why I've been feeling this sense of acceptance. And the reason that I say I think it's acceptance is because the way that I feel is extremely difficult to express, because the feeling I have is not something that I've felt before. But it's important because I'm not only accepting the situation that I'm not together with my ex-fiance anymore, that the two of us are not together anymore. I'm not just accepting that, but I'm starting to accept myself for who I am. I'm trying to be kind to myself, which is something that my psychologist has been telling me probably since day one, is that I need to be kind to myself. And for a long time, I've not been kind to myself because I would beat myself up over these small things about me making my ex-fiance unhappy. Things are going to happen. You know, there's going to be unhappy patches. Like, it's just the way things are. But for me, whenever these unhappy patches came in, whenever there was some sort of anger or something that would make my ex-fiance upset, something that I did, like, as a silly example, leaving the toilet seat up, you know, it can get upsetting for the other person. But it doesn't mean that everything then falls apart. So for me, what I've been under the impression of for the past, like, I don't even know how many years, like, it's been this continuous conditioning that I've had from high school, from all of the relationships that I've had in the past, where if that person is upset, even about something as small as leaving the toilet seat up, for me, it means, oh no, shit, the world is ending, this is bad, I need to fix this right now because the relationship is going to end. Speaking with my psychologist for the past 2 years, I've seen that this is not the case, and I'm starting to understand this a bit better. So, with all of that said, I think taking everything that I've been through with my psychologist and the experiences that I've had with my ex-fiance, my psychologist really thinks that I will be able to take everything that I've got now and be in a better space for my next relationship. Now, I'm not even really thinking about my next relationship at this point in time because, as I say, I really still miss my ex-fiance and I don't want to rush into anything because I really want to take this time to focus on what it is that makes me who I am. And this is really, it's a really difficult process to go through. So I'm not thinking about any kind of future relationship right now. But the most important thing is that my psychologist has said that everything that I've been through everything that I've overcome over the past 2 years that I've been working with him. He said this will set a very good foundation for any future relationship that I have. And now, this is somewhat of a unpopular opinion, maybe a bit of a controversial one, but I believe that it's possible for me and my ex-fiancé to meet up in a couple of years and, you know, maybe neither of us have found anything, but we've come to a sort of compromising place where we're like, okay, you know, let's give this a try again. I don't think that that's impossible. Although, having spoken to my ex-fiancé about this, she says that is definitely not an option. But that's also fine. I understand that, and I respect it. But I do think that it's possible. Likewise, I think that it's possible to have more than one love of your life, because as I mentioned, love is such a complicated emotion, and what can we do about it? There's not much that we can do about it. I feel, you know, having these discussions with my psychologist for the past 2 years, I feel like it's difficult to even comprehend for anyone what love means, because I feel like love is exactly the same as happiness in the fact that it's extremely subjective. The things that make you feel love towards a person is extremely different from person to person. Like, it's so vastly different that there isn't one silver bullet for loving someone. And for that reason, I think it's possible to have more than one love of your life. And I mean, that's the position that I'm in right now. Forever and ever, I will love my ex-fiance. There will always be a part of me that loves her. Even if I decide to get into some other relationship and I end up marrying another person, this part of my life, I won't forget. It will have a significant impact on my life, and it's all part of life's journey, I guess. All of that being said, I don't think there's anything more that I can add to this subject. If there is anything that you guys are interested about in me talking about more on this subject, please let me know. This podcast will be uploaded to all podcast platforms, and I am looking at uploading this onto YouTube as well. So anywhere that there's a comment section, let me know what you guys think. If there's anything that you'd like more information on, I'm more than happy to talk about it. I've gotten to a stage where talking about these things openly is something that I'm able to do, and I think that it really helps me move forward. And I hope that this discussion that we've had, if you guys have managed to stay through the end of my ramblings, I hope that maybe it has helped one of you. Let me know if you guys have experienced similar things. And as I say, if there's any questions about the stuff that I spoke about, let me know wherever there's a comment section, and I will try and address it in a future podcast. For now, I'm going to end the podcast here. As I mentioned, this is the first episode of this podcast. The series is going to be called Sanity's Eclipse. I'm hoping to have many more episodes, but in terms of like what the actual content is going to be for this podcast, I don't think I can really put a category or a genre on it. It's kind of just going to be my life experiences or anything that I want to talk about. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But again, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and I hope that it helps someone. For now, take care, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.